Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So a few years ago, I was teaching a Lenten series on the theology, history, and the importance of music. And I quoted the reference as translated in the King James Version, which was part of the psalm used in the dedication of the hymnals. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And I made the point that the text actually says noise. Some of us do not have trained voices. We make noise that might not be considered music. But we're all commanded to make a joyful noise anyway. We can all be joyful with our noise, and that usually makes the noise more enjoyable, dare I say, tolerable. We usually can sing better as a group than we can as an individual. Good voices carry, hopefully, the ones that are not so good. And so went my sermon. So after the service, I stood there greeting people as they left, and suddenly out comes one of my children. My little redhead was walking out with her hands over her ears. I thought she had an earache. I leaned over and asked, well, what's the matter? She looked back toward the church, and then she exclaimed, not good singing, too much noise. Daddy, need more joy. Want more joy than noise. Well, I think we can all identify a little bit with that. Nevertheless, the psalmist tells us in his powerful 100th psalm, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and come before his presence with a song. So whether good or bad noise, the psalmist says that we're to come into worship with a song. It's been observed that for this reason, Judeo-Christianity is a sung religion. Perhaps you've never thought about it, but no other religion is as musical as Judeo-Christianity. That says a sermon's worth right there. No other faith has ever produced so much music, choral or instrumental, and certainly not congregational, even in some other religions where there's some music. It doesn't involve congregation. Christianity is a musical religion. Today we're made particularly aware of one of the great forms of music given to the church. It's a type of music called a hymn. Sadly, in some places of the church, hymns have all but disappeared, but part of our great tradition, the great tradition of the church, is hymnody, and preserved in this new hymnal that we've been given and that was overseen and influenced by our own organist. It's a very needful update of traditional for traditional Anglicans who want to keep the best of the 1940 hymnal, which we're told is not going to be reproduced anymore by the Episcopal Church. And yet the new hymnal includes many of the other great hymns that we've sung over the years. One we just sang as a sermon hymn that's not in the 40 hymnal. Another one is Amazing Grace that's not in the 40 hymnal. Now it's in our new traditional Anglican hymnal. So I think it's good to take a moment and just talk about this phenomenon in church music called the hymn. What is a hymn? We derive the word hymn from an ancient Greek word, hymnos, which was a song of praise sung for heroes and gods in the ancient Greek world. In Christianity, of course, the hymn is exclusively sung to the one true and living triune God. People of God, old and new, have sung to the Lord God Almighty. A hymn was sung at the great Exodus, Exodus 15. David was one who composed so many psalm hymns, was given a new song, as we're told. And of course in the church, in Ephesians 5, the church sings psalms and hymns and other spiritual songs. So the hymn is one of the musical, choral musical repertoire of the church. But a hymn is therefore unique. It's unique for three reasons. A hymn usually tells a story with its stanzas. The hymn typically is a kind of metrical poem that ends up being a sort of like a ballad. A poem with rhyme and yet like a ballad. It's been observed that most English hymns are in 8/6/8/6 meter. Significantly, this meter corresponds with what is called a ballad type of music. So a hymn many times retells the story of redemption, or a story within the story about the cross or the resurrection. Second, a hymn is a theological statement. It's like a creed in a way. Typically, this theological format is organized in terms of the triune God, a stanza to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Whether or not the hymns follow the order of the Blessed Trinity, a hymn is a theological statement. Music is so powerful that it's been observed that hymns can be at times even more powerful than the theological assertions found in the creeds. A famous 19th century Congregationalist minister was recorded as having said, "Let me write the hymns of the church. I care not who writes the theology." Well, this is an overstatement, obviously. But hymns are proclamations of theology so profound, for good or for ill, that they've become one of the great vehicles for communicating the theology of the church. Unfortunately, at times in the history of the church, bad hymnody has introduced heresy. The worst heresy in the history of the church was introduced by a bad hymn, by a heretic named Arius. We had to have the Nicene Council in AD 325 and produced the Nicene Creed, which we've already said, because Arius wrote a hymn entitled "There Was a Time When Christ Was Not" and denied the eternality of the second person of the Trinity. Well, finally, a hymn can be a prayer. Many of the hymns actually have amen at the end of them. The hymn, when a prayer, moves through acclaiming Almighty God to seeking God's favor and blessing. All great hymns, for that matter, have as their subject God, and in some sense are prayerfully to be sung, if not a prayer per se. It's only been in the last 2 centuries in the Western Church that hymns began to be written in first person. Most of the great hymns are written in third person because they're about God. They are to be about God. Therefore, we have in the church a wonderful way of making a joyful noise, and it's called the hymn, with the use of this wonderful new hymnal. We rejoice and bring God glory with it. Johann Sebastian Bach, the greatest musician ever given to the church, used to write at the beginning of every musical transcript, JJ, initials for Latin words meaning "Jesus help me." At the end of his music, he placed 3 other initials, SDG, for the Latin soli deo gloria, meaning to the glory of God alone. With this new hymnal, may it always be used to the glory of God, as with it we make a joyful noise to the Lord and come before his presence with a song.